Support for IPR and this podcast comes from Luther College, offering more than 60 areas of study, including the new data science and neuroscience majors. Dedicated to preparing students for success in a changing world.
It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. We've had Black Friday, Small Business Saturday, Cyber Monday, and today is the day that has been dubbed Giving Tuesday, a fairly recent invention that's given a boost to many end-of-year fundraising campaigns. Now, of course, the charitable organizations asking for contributions today focus their work on giving year-round. This hour, we'll check in with some of those organizations. Later in the hour, the Food Bank of Iowa will also find out why you might want to rethink how you donate to your local food bank or food pantry. But first, community foundations are designed to pool local resources to make significant investments in meeting the current and future needs of communities. To find out more about the work of community foundations, we've called Carrie McCann-Boutel, president of the Iowa Council of Foundations. Hello, Carrie.
Good morning. Hello.
Thank you so much for being here today.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
And I gave sort of a brief definition of community foundations. What would you want to add to that? How would you define a community foundation?
Yes, well, just as you've said, community foundations work with a variety of donors to pool resources to support nonprofits and charitable causes in their communities. And the thing that makes community foundations unique is that they serve a specific geographic area. And in the state of Iowa, we are fortunate to have at least one, and sometimes more than one, community foundation in each of our 99 counties. And that allows us to serve Iowans in every corner of our state.
And what makes community foundations different from other organizations? I think about the United Way, for example, which is another organization that really aggregates those donations and supports a lot of different causes. What makes community foundations unique?
Yes, community foundations are unique because they focus on permanent endowment building. So those funds are there for charitable organizations and causes for years to come. We like to say for good forever. Those endowment funds continue to be invested and earn interest, and a percentage of that money is distributed to those nonprofits and charitable causes each year. That's what we call our endowment payout. And so organizations are able to count on endowment payout funds as a source of sustainable and predictable income each year. And it also helps to think about them to think about the sustainability and longevity of their organizations. And it also helps donors really leave a long-lasting legacy to support the charitable causes that they care about through those endowment investments.
And I know that community foundations are not a new thing, but it does feel like in the last two decades, for example, I've been hearing about a lot more community foundations. This kind of effort seems to be growing. Is that accurate?
Yeah, I would say that that's true. There have been community foundations across the U.S. for over 100 years. But the community foundation movement in Iowa has really been moved forward and advanced quickly thanks to two state legislated programs that we have in our state. One is the County Endowment Fund Program, which helps distribute a percentage of state gaming revenues each year to the counties that don't hold a state-issued gaming license. And those funds are then, 75% of those funds are then granted out into those counties, and the other 25% is invested into long-term sustainable endowments for those counties as well. And we also have the Endow Iowa Tax Credit Program in our state, which allows donors to receive a 25% state of Iowa income tax credit on gifts that are given to a permanently endowed fund at a qualified community foundation that meets national standards for community foundations in Iowa. So because of those two programs, which started in 2004, we now have those county community foundations in each county and have really seen those organizations working to connect donors with all different types of causes and have seen those community foundations grow and in turn more dollars being invested in those communities.
All right. So that's really given the community foundations a boost.
Yes, here locally in Iowa.
Now, you mentioned Iowa counties having community foundations, and I'm curious about that because there are some community foundations around the state that focus on a specific city or a town. There are some that focus on larger regions. I can imagine with a community foundation that focuses on a county that there are lots of challenges to that, because within a county, you can have so many different kinds of communities, so many different kinds of needs. How does a community foundation balance that?
Well, I think that's what's so unique about community foundations, and specifically our affiliate community foundations serving counties, and many of them being rural counties. It's that they're led by local community leaders who really have the knowledge and understand the needs in their county and in their community. So it's actual county residents who are making the decisions about where to award these grant funds, and they know best what their communities need because they're living there and they're connected with those organizations and charitable causes. So I think that it's the local flavor of community foundations and the community leadership and knowledge that their advisory committees and boards bring to the table when making those funding decisions. And many of our affiliate community foundations also make sure that they have representatives from the various communities within the county. So they make sure that all voices are being heard and all needs are being considered.
And looking at some of these community foundations a little bit more closely, and I'll talk with representatives from two different foundations in a few minutes, I'm finding an incredible diversity about the kinds of things that community foundations focus on. Can you give me an idea of the diverse interests of these foundations?
Well, yes, it definitely depends on the county and on the communities that they're serving. Some of the work that has been most exciting in the community foundation field recently is what we call community leadership work. So that is community foundation staff members and board members really having open ears and open eyes to identify community needs and community issues, and then working together with community partners to help solve those problems. So a couple examples that I would highlight, and one that we've been really involved with from the Iowa Council of Foundations perspective, is the campaign for grade level reading. And we know that it's important for students to be able to read, but the Annie E. Casey Foundation conducted research about 5 years ago that said the most important indicator of reading success and later success of a child's education is third grade reading proficiency by the end of third grade. So now we have 13 communities in Iowa who've read that research and understand the strategies that can be used to help support young people as they are working on their reading skills up through third grade. And those funders and community leaders in each of those 13 communities are coming together to really create some innovative programs and finding some really neat solutions to some of these challenges that our young readers are facing. So that would be one example of how a community foundation doesn't just tackle an issue on their own. They bring lots of partners like the school districts, like local nonprofit organizations, the business community together around a certain issue and figure out how all of those partners can work toward a common goal.
So there can be educational needs, there can be food insecurity that community foundations focus on, healthcare needs, but also cultural needs as well, investment in the arts community in a area. That's something that a lot of community foundations focus on, right?
Yes, absolutely. I would say the reports that we get back from the County Endowment Fund program are seeing lots of grants going to arts and culture organizations and organizations that are preserving the heritage of rural communities in Iowa and celebrating what it is that makes their community unique and special. And we've also seen lots of grants to the environment and preserving the spaces of our communities that, again, make each community unique in its own way. So a variety of causes, and there's also different types of grants that are being awarded. Programmatic grants to support the actual activities of the organization, and sometimes we see capital project grants as well to support a new playground facility or a new building or some sort of infrastructure support.
So when somebody makes a contribution to a community foundation, and let's say it's a small contribution, I realize that there are large donors that can have a lot of influence about how their contribution might be used. But if you give a small donation, do you have much control over how that might be used?
Yes. When you give to a community foundation, you get to help direct those funds. So there's a variety of different types of funds that community foundations can help with. Many nonprofit organizations have what we call agency funds. Some of them may be endowed. Others might just be operating funds. So you could give to an agency endowment or an agency fund at a community foundation that benefits your local YMCA or a homeless shelter in your area or your local food bank. So that's what we call sort of giving through the community foundation. You write your check to the community foundation, but the funds ultimately impact that local organization that you're interested in supporting.
Now, of course, a lot of small organizations do their own fundraising. What might be the benefit to giving through a community foundation?
Yeah, well, I think the thing that is most unique in Iowa, of course, is the Endow Iowa Tax Credit Program. Because donors are getting that 25% income tax credit on their gift, it has encouraged some donors to make larger contributions to endowed funds. And maybe more frequent gifts to those endowed funds to help support the long-term success of organizations. We like to talk with nonprofit organizations about endowment funds as really a tool in their toolbox. Of course, giving to an endowment fund or through a community foundation isn't the answer for all organizations or all donors, but we like organizations to have funds available should a donor choose to give that way. And there's also a number of donors that are connected with community foundations that maybe don't know about all the nonprofit organizations in a community. So by partnering with a community foundation, a nonprofit can really grow their donor base and expand their reach.
So it's a win-win for the donor, for the organization, and for the foundation also. A win-win-win, I guess.
Correct. Yes.
All right. Well, Carrie, thank you so much for taking the time to talk with us today.
Thanks so much.
Carrie McCann Boutel, president of the Iowa Council of Foundations. Right now, we're talking about community foundations, and we're going to check in with a couple of different community foundations, the Greater Poweshiek Community Foundation and the Community Foundation for Northeast Iowa. Of course, there are many foundations working all over the state of Iowa. We couldn't talk with representatives from all of them, but we know that there's a lot of work being done across the state. We'll continue our conversation about community foundations in a moment. This is Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio.
Support for IPR and this podcast comes from Luther College, offering more than 60 areas of study, including the new data science and neuroscience majors, dedicated to preparing students for success in a changing world.
It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. Today on what has been dubbed Giving Tuesday, we're talking about community foundations. It's a way of pooling resources in a community, a county, or a region to make significant investments. And we're going to check in with just a couple of the many community foundations working in Iowa. We're going to start now with the Poweshiek Community Foundation. Nicole Brewer-Behrens is Executive Director of the Poweshiek Community Foundation. Of course, Grinnell is one of the cities in Poweshiek County. Hello, Nicole.
Hi there. How are you today?
Good. Thank you so much for being here. And tell me a little bit about how, as the Poweshiek Community Foundation, the area that you cover, the communities that you're focusing on.
Yeah, so we are, our name is Greater Poweshiek Community Foundation, and it's very fitting because we do cover all of Poweshiek County, but we have some programs that go into Jasper and Marion, and so that sort of gives us the leeway to go a little bit outside our borders. But yes, we cover the Poweshiek County area and have funds for the communities and funds that provide support for the rural area, too, within our county, and we are a fairly rural county.
And how do you decide what you're going to focus on with your work?
So we work with organizations, charitable organizations in our county, and we also work with donors. And we sort of have like what we call a three-legged stool. We do endowment building, we do grant making, and then we do convening. And so sometimes groups or individuals approach us with a particular cause that they see a need for in the community, so like one, for example, food insecurity or mental health. And then we pull people together to talk about the need and try and come up with either some fundraising ideas or some programming ideas. And that's usually how a fund is formed.
Let's talk about some of the things that you do focus on. You mentioned food insecurity, which has been a large focus for you. Tell me about that work.
Yeah, so we have a couple funds that really focus on ensuring that kids especially have the food that they need. We have, in our county, there are several backpack programs, and I'll just talk a bit about Tiger Packs. That's the program that's focused in the Grinnell-Newburgh School District, K through 8. And every Friday, there's a package of shelf-stable food that's put in a child's backpack anonymously. So people don't know, the other kids don't know who has a package and who doesn't have one. And it provides food for those children over the weekend. And that was a need that we heard from school teachers, that kids were coming to school on Monday morning and they weren't able to concentrate until they had lunch. And that can't be, because that affects learning. And so a group of individuals formed an advisory committee and started to do fundraising. And we started with, I think we were packaging about 12 packs a week about 5 years ago, and now we're doing 220 packages a week, K through 8. And then we also support a food pantry out at the high school here in Grinnell.
As that has grown, does that lead you to focus on other related issues? Or,
absolutely.
Okay, tell me about that.
Well, we hear about like self-care items that are needed. We hear about, you know, like brushes and hair ties and socks and lotion and shampoo that's needed in the schools. And that sort of prompted another fund to be started by a couple in Grinnell, Glenn and Ginger Sturck. And they started the Dr. Kevin W. Sturck Elementary Student Needs Fund. And that fund provides support every year to the lower elementary schools for things like that. It could be food-related. It could be self-care items. This couple started the fund in honor of their son who passed away. And every year they go shopping for boots and coats and hats and about this time. And it's such a wonderful fund. And it's meeting a need that seems to be growing in our schools. So that's another example of that's a donor that came forward and wanted to, they heard the needs talked about actually in their church by a principal at one of the schools.
So if a donor comes forward, you can help them organize and administrate something like that.
Yes. Yep. We can help them set up a fund. It can be endowed or not. It can be permanent or non-permanent. In this case, it's an endowed fund. So every year there's a disbursement, meaning that fund will continue forever and ever. And, you know, we love the idea of maybe there not being any needs at some point in the future, but I don't realistically see that happening. So an endowed fund, a permanent fund, is ideal. And the corpus of the fund continues to grow, so the disbursement will get bigger and bigger every year because we only take a small percentage, no more than 5% every year.
You've also been working on some mental health initiatives. You mentioned that earlier. Tell me more about that.
So the hospital, through a donor, started a mental health fund. Our mental health center closed down a few years ago, and there's been a lot of work, especially through the hospital, to continue to provide mental health services in the county. So there's a fund that supports the work that the hospital is doing. And then in October of this year, a physician from the community decided that we needed another fund that was non-permanent to support people who are uninsured and underinsured and support mental health costs. So what we envision, and it's still fairly new, but we envision that that fund will be used to pay providers directly for uninsured costs or costs that clients or patients can't pay for, and it could also be medicine too. So that's really exciting, and there has been such a huge response for that fund. It's grown. There's businesses, there are individuals who understand the importance of mental health care and the major issues that our state is having right now in providing mental health services. So.
And you said that's a non-permanent fund. So the idea is that it will meet a need right now while the state is
absolutely
struggling to meet these needs?
Yes, we can disperse money, basically all money taken in minus some fees. So we could disperse everything if we had to. We hope that won't happen, but that makes the fund much more flexible when it's a non-permanent fund, because as I mentioned before, endowed funds, we can only spend 5% of the principal and interest every year. So,
what do you think it is about a community foundation that gives you maybe a unique ability to make a difference in your community? There are many nonprofits that work hard in communities all over the state. There are national nonprofits that work in local areas. What is it about a community foundation that allows you to make a difference in a different way?
Well, we can be whatever the county or the service area needs us to be. We're nimble in that sense. You know, as long as things are charitable in nature, we can meet the needs of individuals, of organizations, donors. I think that's what makes it so unique. And we work really hard to keep our fees low. You know, we're very low overhead, and I think that's the beauty of it, is that we can be many things to many people and organizations in our community. And I feel like I have the most wonderful job in the world. And I am constantly amazed by the generosity of our rural area and the things that people feel are important, like mental health and food insecurity, the arts, historic preservation, recreation, education. Those are things that people feel strongly need to be supported philanthropically, and people step up. And the other wonderful thing about a community foundation is we can help donors follow their passion and give to their passion. And if we don't have a fund set up for a particular area of interest, we can help a donor set one up. And we also have the ability to do donor advised funds, which allow a donor to be a grant giver. And they can either be focused on in a particular area, or they can be broad. And every year a donor can pick a charitable interest to give to. So we have all these very flexible tools that we can use to help individuals and nonprofit organizations either accomplish their mission or accomplish their personal giving objectives, whatever it is. So they're just really wonderful community organizations.
Nicole Brewer Behrens, thank you so much for talking with me today.
Hey, thank you so much for asking me about our organization and community foundations in general.
Nicole Brewer Behrens is Executive Director of the Greater Poweshiek Community Foundation. Now we're turning to a foundation that serves a large area, 20 counties, in fact, the Community Foundation of Northeast Iowa. Kay England is the president and CEO of the foundation. Hello, Kay.
Good morning, Charity.
Thank you so much for being here today. And this is a large region that you serve. Why is this a community foundation that covers such a large area?
Well, when community foundations were formed approximately 12 years ago, as the state decided how to disperse gaming dollars, basically counties just aligned with community foundations that were already existing throughout the state. And it was a little bit of a random process, but throughout that process, our community foundation grew to be, I think we used to be around 18 counties, and we've grown a couple new counties over the last few years. But primarily, we're serving 20 counties and 24 communities and counties altogether.
And looking at the map of the area that you cover, it's not just a block in a specific region. You're kind of spread out a little bit. That must create some challenges.
Well, it does, but we could certainly not do our work if we weren't driven by the awesome volunteers that we have across our state. And I think that's one of the beautiful things about community foundations. You know, as Carrie mentioned, you know, there's relatively low overhead with most community foundations, and that's because of the value and the power of volunteers. So we have 12 staff that serve our regional community foundation, but approximately 350 volunteers that help make a lot of those great connections, granting recommendations, you know, community gathering, et cetera. So that's how we do it primarily, is volunteer power.
Well, and I was talking earlier about how I can imagine it's challenging within a county with rural areas and towns and different kinds of needs. I mean, you're serving a city as big as Waterloo and some very rural areas. How do you balance the needs of the different areas in your region?
Well, through the granting process, you know, we have a great connection with our nonprofits that are serving in our region. And so through the grant proposals, some of those needs, of course, rise to the top. And it really is becoming quite a trend that many nonprofit organizations serve a regional touch as well. And so, you know, part of that has come through funding of state contracts and federal contracts, et cetera, over the years. So many organizations are serving multiple counties. And so we might have, say, for instance, I know we've had conversations about food banks. Everybody loves the work of a food bank. And the Northeast Iowa Food Bank serves, I think it's like 16 counties. And so many of those organizations like a food bank are applying within each of the counties that have community foundations through us for a grant that's serving that particular county. So it's even though a community might be pretty rural, as opposed to where we happen to be located in the Cedar Valley, there's many common needs, of course. And so that's kind of how we're meeting those needs, is through that granting process.
And let's talk about some of the specific programs you've been involved in, just to give people an idea of some of the work you do. Let's talk about Homestead. Tell me about that.
Well, yeah, I had just mentioned that as a project, when you're looking at what is maybe unique about a community foundation, I think many times, at least for our community foundation, and I know from talking with other leaders of community foundations, we many times will be that organization that's providing that first lead grant to bring programs and services to our area. So as we do some of the convening and community conversations that you've discussed earlier with Nicole and Carrie, similarly, you'll find that there's unmet needs in a community. That's what really happened with the Homestead Project, which is an organization that serves autistic children and adults. And they're located out of Des Moines, and they came to us a couple years ago and said they really hope to expand their outreach and meet the unmet needs in our region. And would we be interested in stepping up to the plate and providing, you know, a lead gift for that to establish that organization? And we did that. And now we're continuing to support their programming through annual grants. But sometimes it's that initial gift that's really difficult in order to start or to launch a program.
I want to talk about a focus on wellness in the Waterloo area as well. This has been one of your causes. Tell me about that.
Well, several years ago, we helped to support the Cedar Valley Sportsplex. You know, there were studies looking at the opportunity for individuals to have opportunities for athletics and wellness and improving the quality of life through exercise, et cetera. And so our organization helped to provide a lead gift. Again, at that time, I believe it was $500,000 that we provided to develop the structure and the building that's now serving the Cedar Valley area. But then I think, again, what makes us unique is we also set aside dollars into an endowment fund that can be used to provide scholarships for families and individuals that otherwise would not have the means to utilize the facility. And then also some of those dollars are used for the annual upkeep of a facility like the Cedar Valley Sportsplex.
And how do you track the impact of a contribution like that over time?
Well, I mean, there's a lot of ways. I mean, through our grant reports and things, most of our grantees send in annual evaluations or grant reports where they're talking about who they served and the impacts of their grants and even some of their goals in expanding and meeting the unmet needs. And so that's one of the ways that we can track impacts of our grants. But then also back to, you know, Carrie and Nicole's point about community leadership and convening, that's another thing that's really important to us as a community foundation. It's continuing to have that pulse of what's going on with our nonprofit partners, how we can help them grow their capacity to serve our community, and then also looking at, you know, what that gap in services is. Serving on the grade level reading project or the Cedar Valley Nonprofit Association.
Kay, we're out of time, but thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you.
Kay England of the Community Foundation of Northeast Iowa.